Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What Is That Kid Anyway? The talk show.
Well, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. And here are your hosts, HR and customer service expert Denise Harding, and etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as Etiquette Lady Donna Paige.
Right.
Well, happy Sunday, and welcome to What Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Today is Sunday, November 20th, 2011, and we are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. It has been a beautiful, absolute, splendid day here. This evening's topic is parenting manners. Parenting manners. I'm Donna Riley, also known as the Etiquette Lady.
Good evening, everyone. This is Denise Harding. I am the HR lady.
How are you, Denise?
Hey, Donna. I'm doing great. And it was, but is still a pretty day out there.
It's been just absolutely beautiful, almost like an Indian summer, would you say?
Mm-hmm. A little bit of rain, a little bit of sunshine. Beautiful.
Just absolutely beautiful. Well, the name of our show is What Is Etiquette Anyway? And since it's a question, we need to go ahead and provide an answer. Etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior. And by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. We always like to give the backstory to etiquette because we know that each week we gain new listeners, and of course we do have listeners of all ages, and I'd like to just personally say welcome to the What Is Etiquette Anyway, family, and thank you so much for spending part of your Sunday with us. Well, Denise, let's let people know how they can contact us. If you'd like to call in with a comment or question, our telephone number is area code 347-324-3295, 347-324-3295. Or you may email us at etiquetteladies, and that's plural, etiquetteladies@gmail.com. Okay? Now, Denise, parenting manners. Have you heard that discussed lately?
Actually, yes, I have, but we need to know more about it.
Absolutely. We kind of hit on a little bit of it on last week. We have a very special guest coming up very shortly, and her name is Glenda Horton Manning. She is an inspirational and motivational speaker, and she also hosts her own television program. And we're going to talk about that in a moment as well. Now, we know that parenting is a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour job, which requires absolutely no degree or prior experience. Isn't that interesting? And it has to be one of the most important, if not the most important, job, and no experience. And Denise, I know with you being our HR expert, there's not too many people that you hire without any kind of experience. So
not too many.
Yeah. So, and with parenting, and I'm sure many parents out there listening would also agree that it's pretty much on-the-job training. It can be very thankless, and each day can just simply be different, and just the same as each child is different. So we are going to talk about it, and I tell you guys, if you have some parenting tips, which we have just such a great audience, and we always thank you guys for sharing with us. If you have some special parenting tips that you would like to share with us, please call in. I mean, it can be parenting as far as teaching your children manners or different parenting matters. And so either way, certainly would love for you to share with us. We're going to go ahead and go to the phone. I want to bring in our special guest that we are excited to have this evening. Glenda, are you there?
Yes, I am, Donna.
Hi, Glenda. How are you?
I am absolutely wonderful and so excited to have the opportunity to talk about one of the things that's dear to my heart is parenting and, secondly, etiquette.
Absolutely. If you would, I kind of gave just a brief background, but if you can just let everybody know exactly who you are and what you do, that will be great.
Sure. Well, I am here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I am a sociologist and a master communicator. On a regular basis, I share those skills through motivational speaking and inspiration. We've published several books, mostly children's books and inspirational books for adults. So I've had the opportunity to use your book, and I thank you for it, What is Etiquette Anyway? And you know how many times we've ordered copies of this book. In my work, we present workshops and keynote messages to people across the nation. And I met you at a national conference some years ago and was so impressed. And I kept the book you gave me in that class, and then we've ordered so many more. So I've had many opportunities to use that book with lots of people, parents, teachers, administrators, and, yes, children.
Wow, and I thank you so much for that. I was discussing you with a friend of mine earlier this evening, and I was trying to determine which year it was that we met, because I know we met that first year, and then I believe probably 4 or 5 years, the next 4 or 5 years after that, we were presenting at this conference each one of those years. So I was trying to determine whether we met in Miami or was it Spokane, or just couldn't remember. But
well, I really wish I could tell you, but I don't remember either, but I have never forgotten you. I will tell you that.
And I have certainly haven't forgotten you as well. I was just so amazed sitting in your workshop.
Well, thank you.
Talking about being, you know, inspired and motivated. It has just really, you know, it's had a certain impact on my life. That's why I was so excited to invite you to come on to be a special guest. And I know we've received some emails, and I think I'll start with one of our emails, and then we'll just kind of go from there, okay?
Okay, sure.
The first email says, Dear Etiquette Lady and guest, how old should your child be before you begin teaching him or her manners? And this comes from Elise Knight in Massachusetts. And, well, I always say is as soon as the child begins to speak, that's when you begin teaching them manners. You know, because if you give them something and you teach them to say thank you, and, of course, once they begin saying thank you, if you give them something else and they don't say it, you just kind of take it back and say, what did you forget to say?
Yes.
You know, say, oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. And so you want to add to that, Glenda.
Well, surely, and you are exactly right. We begin as soon as they begin to speak, and those first words are thank you. Mm-hmm. The other important word is please. And so as children, and they will say what we say, so you don't ever have to worry about a thing. In fact, they'll say things you don't want them to say, but they will repeat you. So that's a good thing, a good way to begin. And I must say, as far as etiquette is concerned, it's just old-time home training. Mm-hmm. In your book, Donna, I didn't find anything new. I found what my mother talked about, what my grandmother talked about, and these are the things that are so important for parents to teach their children. And it becomes a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that you have to stop and take out time to do. It is the kind of thing that we do. We weave that throughout our daily routine of life.
That's right.
And here in Charlotte and Mecklenburg County and Union County, we've shared the curriculum with children in the YWCA after-school programs,
mm-hmm.
and those children are from kindergarten up to sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And there were years, I think about 3 years ago, every single child, and that included about 300 children, attending our after-school programs, were a part of this curriculum, and they received a copy of that book to take home to share with family.
That is so wonderful. And, of course, what happens is once the children learn, they
yes.
go back and they teach the family.
Exactly. They share
yes.
that with the family. Well, I must say now, we have had some challenges in teaching these good things to children before their parents were exposed to it. And their parents need to be exposed to the same information so they can be of support along the process. And I've got to tell you something that was kind of heartbreaking. But we were working with a group of children in a school, and we had worked with them for several weeks and then brought in their parents to share what was going on. And a parent told me that they were loading up the car. She and her children were going somewhere, and her little son was trying to hold the door for her, and she didn't understand what was going on, and she simply said to him, "You hurry up, boy, and get in that car." Mom did not understand.
Sure.
And so she could not be supportive to the process. So it is so important. Parents cannot teach children what they don't know themselves.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's why the parenting workshops are crucial to attend those. Because, of course, as part of the intro, I mean, this is the only job that you have that you're really not required to have any kind of educational status or any type of job experience. So, you're just kind of learning as you go along, but with a lot of the parenting workshops, that's an outlet for parents to be able to come together and to share information and to learn information. And I know Denise.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm here.
Hey, Denise, listen, we were talking about parenting, and we were talking about parenting as far as it's not, you don't necessarily have to have your own blood children to parent someone. Oftentimes, you could have godchildren or your neighbors or nieces or nephews, and by and large, I know, Denise, we have talked about some of your employees. It's like you parent a lot of the employees, and that's just kind of guiding and directing.
Yeah.
It's certainly another definition of parenting. It's just really important.
Exactly.
Now, there is, let's see, Denise, I know you have some emails. Would you like to read one of yours? Okay, go ahead.
Sure, I would. Now, we're talking about classes and all for the children. I have a couple here who they state that they were raised in different kinds of ways. One where the parents were very casual and relaxed, and the other where it was very, very strict and pretty much their lives were kind of, okay, you know what you're doing. They're involved in classes, after school programs, sports, et cetera, and so the couple don't have any children, and what they're asking is, where can they go to get parenting skills or go to get classes? Because they feel they may have an opportunity there where one parent may want to go one way, the other another, and they don't quite meet in the middle. So what would you suggest for somebody, you know, anywhere to get some type of parenting skills? Are there classes everywhere? Are there books to read? So, Glenda, tell us what they need to do.
Well, certainly I will say I salute this couple for thinking forward and giving it tremendous thought about having children and how they want to raise them before they have them. Most of us had our children first, and as Donna said, we had no training. And what we learned, or what we did, in many cases, we did what was done to us. In some cases, we were just fumbling around in the dark, trying to figure out what works. So, number one, I salute this couple for giving it this kind of in-depth thought, because it is serious. It is a serious matter in raising children, and we only get one good shot at it, because we can ruin our precious children if we, you know, don't do the right thing as time goes by. What I would certainly say, in everybody's community, there is a United Way program. There's a United Way agency, and United Way usually has a handle on those kind of services wherever they are offered throughout your city and your county. So that's one good place to begin. A second place would be to begin, if you've already thought, if you're thinking about having children, then you may also have in mind a pediatrician that you might like to work with. They are an excellent place. Or even if you don't have a pediatrician, your regular gynecologist, talking about what you plan to do in the future, moms in particularly, and the kind of support you feel that you might need. Now, and there are a number of books out there. In fact, you know, one of the greatest resources I have found, though, happens to be Parents Magazine. We use the Parents Magazine all the time, and wonderful articles come out. And, of course, we're looking at information that would lead us to the various stages that children go through. For example, our very young and newborns, there's one whole issue that we would deal with around them. But as children grow into being toddlers and then school-age children, then the rules begin to change. So, of course, it would just be a beginning process in getting an idea of what we're about. And then, as time goes by, it would be an ongoing process anyway. But I would begin, number one, give a call to United Way. There's an agency in every single area of our country, and they normally have a listing of the agencies that provide this kind of support.
Okay. Well, that's great information. Mm-hmm. We certainly thank her for sending that email. There's another one. It says, etiquette ladies and gifts. I've noticed young parents these days parent much different than when I was growing up. A lot of times you don't know who's the parent and who's the child. Why do you think this is? And this comes from Benjamin Myers in Marietta, Georgia. Wow. Well, you know what? A lot of children are having children, so a lot of the parents are much younger these days. And as, you know, Glenda, you just mentioned a short while ago, is you cannot teach what you haven't learned.
Yes.
And so a lot of times, you know, with the parents being so young and they just don't know, and sometimes they end up trying to be their children's friend instead of their parent, or instead of their guardian even, you know.
Right.
I have found that, you know, you have to be either or. You cannot be the parent and the friend, especially when your children are young, because they get mixed messages. So they get a little confused by that. So in order to be the parent, of course, you're the disciplinarian. You are the one that's giving advice. You're not necessarily going to hang out, you know, with your children. Say if you have some of the teenage, if you have a teenager, and, you know, you may be 15 or 16 years older, you know, than your teenager, and you guys kind of go out and go out clubbing or something. That is just usually not a good thing. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure we establish in that house, you know, who is the parent and who is the child, and we have to teach our children to be respectful, because if they don't respect a parent, it is very unlikely that they're going to respect any other authoritative figure.
Yes.
Because the parent is generally that first figure in their
right.
life.
You're exactly right, Donna. In fact, I often say, if parents want to be their child's best friend, they rob them of the opportunity to have a parent.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that in, within itself is a crime, because every parent does want a loving form of guidance for their children. They just don't always understand their role in that. Another challenge that we face is that many of our, not only are our parents young, but our grandparents are even younger.
Yeah.
And in some cases, many children don't even have grandparents that they interact with on a regular basis, because very young grandparents don't always like to be referred to as grandparents and don't necessarily like the role that they end up playing. So that's a tremendous challenge in our society today, and that is why many agencies, many churches are providing this kind of support for their members and their parishioners. That's why we provided etiquette classes for children at the YWCA. We saw very young parents needing to offer this support to their children, and they first needed to be taught themselves. So it's a community problem that we have, or challenge, if you will. And wherever we are, if there's any way that we can help to support this movement of needing to undergird and support our parents in being the best they can be, I urge us to take advantage of that opportunity.
Absolutely. And once again, you're listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Our number is area code 347-324-3295, 347-324-3295. And please call in and share with us if you have any parenting tips that you would like to share, some things that have worked for you, and no one knows it all. We're going to go ahead and go to the phone and bring on a caller, extension 4200. Thanks for calling. What is Etiquette Anyway? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi, how are you?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can, absolutely. Thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway. We are discussing parenting manners and parenting matters. So you can certainly tell us who you are and if you have a tip, or join our conversation. And if you could say hello to both Glenda and Denise as well.
Hi, this is Jean. How you doing?
Hi, Jean. This is Glenda.
How are you?
Okay. Was just listening in, just joined in just a couple of minutes ago, so I missed a lot of what was probably said. You were speaking, you said parenting matters and parenting manners.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Or if you have any type of parenting tip. Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, I do. And this may not be directly the topic, but I think it's very important that parents realize that what they are doing, even when using parenting skills and when not using parenting skills, they're creating memories.
Yes.
And it's very important that certain lessons are learned and remembered. There are good lessons, good memories, bad lessons, bad memories. And I think that the parents should be very cautious as to how they handle certain situations. I think that they need to make sure that they don't allow the child to take over. I think I heard someone say that the parent should be the parent.
Yes.
Okay. And that the child should know that the parent is the parent.
Yes.
Because if they learn those lessons, it will help them when they have their own children to you know, to keep things rolling as far as doing the right things where children are concerned. Those would be, I would consider, a good memory when a child can say, oh, I remember how my parent handled this. I can utilize this. Thank goodness
yes.
that they knew how to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I did hear you say about the grandparents being younger and younger.
Yes.
This is so true. I'll share with you an incident, well, not an incident, but just something that happened. I had an opportunity to meet a family, and within that family, the great-grandmother was 43.
Yes.
Does that tell you anything?
Yes. Yes.
I could not, I just couldn't figure that one out.
Mm-hmm.
That said to me that somebody wasn't parenting properly.
Yes.
And that certain lessons had not been learned nor passed along.
Exactly. Jean, mm-hmm. I'm just so impressed with your thinking, particularly where you made that earlier statement and said that as we parent our children, we're making memories. I've lost both my mother and my father, and on a regular basis, I reflect on things that they had said to me that helped me get through my day and the challenges. In choosing a bank, we look at the banks and all the things that are going on with them now, and my daddy said, make sure you go where people know you. Mm-hmm. And that's important. My mother used to say, a stitch in time saves nine. Meaning, if there's something broken, fix it right away, or it gets worse. She used to say things like, a lazy person always works the hardest, meaning you end up having to do it again if you try to take the shortcuts. So on a regular basis in my memory, I am pulling up words and events that help to guide me through my daily life. As old as I am now, I'm still listening in my head and in my memory to what Mama and Daddy had said to me.
Okay. That's right.
That's a treasure.
Oftentimes, oftentimes we parent the way we were parented.
Yes.
And so, you know, it depends on how we were actually guided and directed. That's usually what we reach back, and we do the exact same thing with our children, be it positive or negative. So this is so important. And you guys, we're a couple of minutes to the end of the show, our live segment, but what we're going to do is we're going to continue after the show goes off. We're going to continue, and you'll be able to pull up the archive and to hear as our conversation continues. But we're going to go ahead and continue the conversation on parenting manners and matters. And, you know, we thank you so much for tuning in. You live listeners, we're going to lose you in about an hour or in about a minute and a half. But do know that you can go back and listen to the archive and listen to what happened after the show actually went off, okay? One of our special guests, Glenda Horton Manning, she is an inspirational and motivational speaker. Glenda, I'd like for you to talk a little bit about your television show,
sure.
A Celebration of Parenting.
Yes, it is, Donna. A Celebration of Parenting is aired on public access. In my area, it's Channel 21 and Channel 22. 22 is the University of North Carolina's television station. And we are so excited about the opportunity to invite in parents, people who have and are raising their children. And we have an ongoing conversation about how they've raised their children, high moments, low moments, words of wisdom that they offer to others. Now, we choose these people based upon whatever the important topic is at that time. So we deal with homelessness. We deal with preachers and teachers raising their children and the challenges of such, affluent people raising their children, people who are struggling with jobs and places to live. We deal with death. We deal with all kinds of issues. And what we want is for parents to share with others how they've done it and their words of wisdom. This is a very exciting venture for me. We aired in October, and there are two shows that come on, one on Sunday night, and one will come on at 9 tonight, and another on Tuesday evening.
And I took a look at one of the shows, and I just thought it was just excellent. It was very motivating.
Thank you.
And, of course, here, as we've been talking this evening, you know, there is no such thing as a degree in parenting or,
no.
You know, so it's so important to be informed and to be a part of this type of information because, I mean, you just don't hear a lot of people talking about it. You certainly don't hear a bunch of motivational speakers going around, you know, talking about parenting. But then you do hear people saying, well, they should do this, or she's her mother, she should do this, you know. And oftentimes, you know, parents just don't know what to do. So
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And most often what we hear about our children is negative. And
right,
so what we want to do is to get that positive stuff out there. And those of us who have done it and are still working on it, we never really get there. I'm on my second generation of children, and I have learned so much, but I know that there's so much more to learn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, because you never get finished learning. Denise, I wanted to make sure we're going to try to get to as many emails as we can.
Okay.
Did you have another one that you've pulled?
I do have one, and this one says, "Dear ladies, what is the best way for a parent to cope with children who don't see one of their parents for months? For example, one who may be working overseas or is in the military for months on end." This comes from Joyce, Newport News, Virginia. And she doesn't say if she's having any issues with the children or not, Glenda, but it sounds as if though children may be, I'm sure, missing their parents.
Yes.
But sometimes even act out because that other parent is not there to support them when they are in school, those kinds of things I've seen in the past myself. What do you say to a parent?
Well, Denise, believe it or not, just several days ago I had a conversation with a mother who was having trouble with her little one who's in second grade, and his father is incarcerated. In fact, there's three children in the family, and the little one has a different father, but the two oldest children, including this little fella, have a father who is incarcerated. And she brought up the issue of we were trying to get at what was causing some of his misbehavior. And eventually she told me about where Daddy was. And what is sad is he won't be released for many years from now. But what I would say in answer to your question, and there may be others listening and you may be able to help us out a little bit, but with technology today, almost anything can happen. So there are lots of ways that we can continue to communicate. So parents can certainly by calling, by email, by writing, but then also there's such a thing as making the tape, the DVD, the sound of the voice can truly make a difference. And to this mom, I said, if it is at all possible for you to help this child hear his father's voice in the interim, because she said this is the one adult that he sits quietly to listen to when they take him for a visit in the prison. And
wow,
this is a reality. It's not what we want to see, but it is. It is true. So we must begin to look at that. There are many, many parents incarcerated. And then not to talk of all of those who are away serving in the military and for other reasons. So for whatever reason a parent is away, that presents a challenge on a regular basis with them communicating. What the research tells us this. Research says that if parents are actively involved in their children's education, these children do better in school and in life. But the research goes further, and it says, if a man even asks about homework, children do even better. And so that is why I said to Mom, now I don't know why, unless it's the big voice, the authority, I just don't know, but that's what research tells us. So what I said to this mom, if you can increase the number of times he gets to hear his father's voice, and prompt daddy ahead of time to encourage him to encourage his little one in positive ways as best he can. So that's one tip that I would offer. But with technology today, we can communicate in so many ways, and we must encourage our people to be creative and to look at the many different ways that this can happen.
Mm-hmm. That's certainly correct. Social media is just phenomenal now.
Where yes, it is. Yes.
You can plug in your camera. And
yes.
You can actually stream and actually speak with, you know, the family.
Yes.
I see oftentimes that they show clips, especially
yes.
around the holiday season, especially for the military.
The personnel. Military, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And they can actually communicate, which is just it's beautiful.
Exactly.
And we thank you. What was her name, Denise?
Joyce.
Yes. Joyce, we certainly do thank you for that email.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great information, Glenda, that you shared with her. And, you know, we are all in this thing together. I mean,
yes,
no
are.
One has all the answers. And, you know, so many parents have questions. And it's just a matter of being informed. With programs like this, with programs like this, a celebration of parenting, just trying to pick up on as many tips and as many pointers as possible, because more than likely a parent that you know or even a grandparent that you know can be able to give you some advice and some parenting tips because they've already gone through it.
Yes.
And that's really, really important. Denise, did you have any other emails you want to share at this time?
I do have one other. Hold on here.
Okay,
this one is. Okay. Yes, I do have one quick one. Is that okay, Donna?
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead, and then we're going to go to the caller. Callers, thank you for holding.
Okay. Dear ladies, my sister had a baby, and she does not feel comfortable leaving the baby with me or my other sister. We all get along great. We've grown up together, but she constantly calls, even if it's 2 hours that she's going to be away from her son. How can I get her to realize that we are going to do everything for this child and to help make her comfortable when she leaves him? This comes from Tina McFarland in Charlotte, North Carolina. Glenda.
Oh, yes, Charlotte. That's right here at home.
Yes. So what do you say to parents who seem to want to try and do everything but probably need a break? And I'm not saying a break because they're tired of the child, but need a break to do something for themselves sometimes. And they feel uncomfortable perhaps leaving that child with a relative or a friend or something like that.
Well, indeed, it's an issue of trust, but then it takes time, especially with your precious little newborn. I can just feel that mother's concern. And I have a little 2.5-year-old granddaughter that came here at 1 pound, 10 ounces, my daughter's first child, and she barely turned 40 years old before the baby came, so we thought this would never happen. And this baby has never been with anybody but she and her mom and my sister on occasion, of course, her grandfather. So, and my daughter, when she's away, she calls about she calls about every hour or so, and she'll say, I'm just checking in. How are things going? I think for us it is important not to be offended when parents are on the job in that way. Because, you know, when little ones are concerned, it only takes a second for something to go wrong. So of I think I would try to be a little more patient with her. And as time goes by, believe it or not, it will. She will be able to leave the little one longer and longer without that constant concern. But I would say be patient.
Very good.
And be grateful that this mom is on her job, because some people will leave for many hours.
Or days,
and overnight,
right?
Yes. So I think that's a mom who's just, she's new at this and probably needs a little more understanding.
Okay. Very good. I hope she's listening.
I hope she's listening, too. And I hope she knows how to get me if she needs to at another time.
Okay. Yes, give your contact information, Glenda, if you will.
Sure, sure. My number here is 704-596-6036. Now, the message says Touch Incorporated, because that's the name of the company that I work for. It's called, we are a motivational training consultant company. So you can give us a call, 704-596-6036. But you can also email me at touch, T-O-U-C-H, G as in Glenda, M as in Manning, at AOL.com.
Wonderful. Let me try to pull another caller in. It's
sure.
4865, 4865, hello. Extension 4865. Okay, perhaps they're just listening in on the conversation. That's fine. Well, we would be remiss during the month of Thanksgiving not to talk a little bit about being grateful and just the power. I know this morning the pastor was talking about the power of gratitude. And we always talk about kindness and making sure that you initiate an act of kindness.
Now it's time for Random Acts of Kindness.
Now, looking at our Random Acts of Kindness, we're going to put a little twist on it this evening. And since this is the Sunday before we're in Thanksgiving week, I just want you to ask yourself, do you really say thank you often enough? And just to give you just a couple little questions, you know, when God wakes you up to see another day, do you say thank you? When someone holds the door open for you when you are entering or leaving a building in lieu of letting it slam in your face, do you say thank you? The receptionist transfers a call to you and announces who is calling. Do you thank her? A grocery store clerk assists you in locating a hard-to-find item. Do you say thank you? And those are just a few. I wrote a column about that a few years ago. And just wanting to make sure, go out of your way, if you will, especially this week, to really, really tell someone thanks. And I'm sure that that will certainly make someone's day. Well, I want to say thank you so much for joining us. Spending part of your Sunday evening with us. Thanks for your support. Everyone who called in, emailed, we appreciate our new listeners. Certainly appreciate our guests, Glenda. It's been a pleasure to have you on. And
oh, thank you.
You're so welcome. It's been our pleasure. Be sure to tell your friends and family about our show. Invite them to listen as well. And, of course, you know that we are trying to make the world a polite place to live, and we know we can do this only one person at a time. Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. And that comes from Proverbs 3:3. And again, tell someone thank you this week and initiate a random act of kindness. Thanks again for joining us. Good night. Take care and God bless.
You've been listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show, where our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time when we'll discuss another exciting topic.